Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. Today, we'll be discussing the messages that we can learn from some of the morning kinos that are recited on Tisha B'Av. Kino number 7 starts with the words Echa Atzta. In this kino, we ask Hashem, how could he have let these terrible things happen? Each paragraph starts by mentioning a calamity that we suffered, which is then contrasted with a moment of closeness that we shared with Hashem. For example, the first stanza asks how Hashem could let us fall into the hands of Esav's descendants. We ask why Hashem seems not to remember choosing Yaakov and not Esav at the Bris Ben Habsarim. So how can it be that Titus, a descendant of Esav, reigned over the Jewish people and was allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? In another paragraph, we ask how Hashem could allow Titus to have entered the Beis HaMikdash and defile it. Doesn't he remember when we received the Torah at Har Sinai, which was considered like our marriage to Hashem? What we're asking is, given our intimate relation with Hashem, how could he allow a stranger to invade the private home that he shared with us? This kina continues with many more examples of our special relationship with Hashem, and each time we question how Hashem could ignore that closeness and allow us to suffer the way we have. Even though we normally don't challenge Hashem this way, when one is suffering and in the depths of despair, it can be hard to refrain from such behavior. In fact, it takes extraordinary emuna not to complain to Hashem about why he let the devastation happen. I want to share with you an incredible incident that happened recently in Israel that shows this incredible type of emuna. You might have seen a video going around about this. An IDF soldier was severely injured, and he lost both of his legs and his right hand. When Rav Usher Weiss went to visit him, this soldier said that he had some questions for the Rav. We would all assume that this soldier would ask questions of faith, like why he had to go through this ordeal. But instead, the soldier asked the following questions. First, he wanted to know on which hand he should put tefillin on. Since his right hand was amputated, is it now considered his weaker arm? His second question was whether he needed to do Netilas Yadayim on what was remaining of his right arm. Next, he wanted to know, if he gets a prosthetic hand by Sukkot time, in which hands should he hold the Lulav and Esrog? And finally, he asked a Shaila on making a Shechayanu when getting that prosthetic hand. Rav Usher Weiss shares that he broke down when he heard these questions. The soldier didn't ask why Hashem let this happen to him. Instead, the issues that troubled this soldier or how can he properly fulfill the mitzvos? There's so much chizuk that we can get from this soldier. He accepted Hashem's will and adhered to the principle of tzedek hadin, that Hashem's judgment is unquestionably correct, even when we can't understand it. Kina number 10 starts with the phrase, Echa yashva chavatzelet hasharon. This kina talks about the loss of the kahuna, the priesthood. More than anyone else, the lives of the kohanim changed when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But although Kohanim can no longer do their service in the Beis HaMikdash, the role that they played can still influence us. This is because the Torah commands the entire Jewish people to act as Kohanim when it says that we should be a Mamlechas Kohanim, a kingdom of priests. This is telling us that the relationship that Kohanim had towards Bnei Yisrael is a model for the relationship that we Jews need to have for the rest of the world. What exactly was that relationship? The responsibility of the Kohen was to educate the Jewish people and to inspire them to be closer to Hashem. In a similar fashion, Jews need to be an Or LaGoyim, a light to the nations. Our behavior should help people recognize Hashem's presence and role in the world. This is how the Netziv understands Hashem's promise to Avraham that his children should be like the stars of the sky. He was saying that the Jewish people are meant to enlighten the world, just like the stars. We should embody Hashem's light in our lives and spread that light throughout the world. I heard a recent story that reflects this. A non-Jewish woman was driving on the Southern State Parkway with her young daughter when suddenly she had a flat tire. She pulled off the highway to look for the phone number for AAA when a Jeep pulled off the highway in front of her. A young man wearing a yarmulke stepped out of the Jeep into the 96-degree heat and offered to change the tire for her. She was amazed by this man's kindness. As he was changing the tire, they started chatting, and he told her that there's a group of people in the Orthodox Jewish community who do volunteer roadside assistance, and there's also a volunteer ambulance. and they do this to help anyone. The woman said that she had never heard of such a beautiful thing before. When the Jewish man finished changing the tire, the woman started crying with tears of relief. She said, "It's scary to think about what could have happened. How fortunate that such a kind person came to our rescue, and that the Jewish people routinely do this for others." As Jews, we need to remember that other people are watching us because of what we represent. What we do and say reflect not only on us as individuals, but on the entire Jewish people and on Hashem himself. How do we talk to other people? How patient are we? How honest? Our everyday actions can achieve more by personal example than hours we might spend talking about Hashem and the Torah. The last kina we'll be discussing today is kina Yud Bet. In this 12th kina, we're trying to convey that Hashem's Shechina belongs in this world, not in the heavens. This idea is emphasized with the word po, meaning here, that ends every stanza. We're reminding Hashem that by creating the world, he intended for his presence to reside here on earth. This idea is very similar to the Midrash, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes to bring down the Torah from heaven. According to the Midrash, the angels objected to humans receiving the Torah, arguing that mortals are not holy enough for the Torah. Moshe rebutted the argument by noting that the laws in the Torah apply only to humans. Angels can't kill, so the mitzvah of don't murder has no relevance to them. Similarly, angels can't steal or covet what their neighbors have, so the laws forbidding those behaviors are meaningless to them. With these arguments, Moshe prevailed over the angels and was allowed to bring the Torah down to earth. The point of this midrash is that since angels are completely spiritual, they don't need the Torah. However, man also has a physical component, with all the accompanying desires and impulses. That is precisely why the Torah is necessary for us. Each of the 365 prohibitions of the Torah is meant to help us control our desires and impulses. There's another fascinating midrash that adds a layer to this. There was a king who wanted to understand Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. So what did he do? He sent his artists to where Moshe was camped in the desert so they could draw a picture of him. When they returned, the king gave the picture to his physiognomists, which are people who are trained to discern a person's character from his facial features. These men studied the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu and then gave their findings to the king. They reported that the picture given to them belonged to someone who is narcissistic, arrogant, lustful, and capable of the worst kind of behavior. The king was confounded, since this description was the opposite of everything that he had heard about Moshe. He confronted Moshe with what those men said and asked if he could explain how they could be so wrong. Moshe explained that the physiognomists described the character traits that he had been born with. However, Moshe had used all of those potentially negative traits and channeled them toward positive and desirable goals. What an unbelievable accomplishment this was. But it's something that we can all do. We're all born with predispositions towards certain character traits, some of them good and some of them not so good. But the fact that we may have a natural tendency towards certain vices doesn't give us an excuse to indulge in bad behavior. Instead, our job is to take control over those natural impulses. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that every person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not saying that every person can attain the level of greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Rather, he's saying that each person is capable of putting effort into his spiritual growth to reach his own potential, just as Moshe did. That's a very important message for all of us. In tomorrow's Shir, we'll discuss a fascinating question. Why did Hashem test Avraham with the Akedah? Hashem is an omniscient God, and so he already knew that Avraham would pass the test. So what was the purpose? This question isn't just about Avraham, because actually Hashem tests us all throughout our lives. Why does he do this? I hope you'll join me as we analyze this question. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This year is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmos Paraleia Bas Shlomo David and Shaul Ben Baruch. Rabbi Sin Peggy Weiss was Nifteret on Ches Tishrei, 2014. Rabbi Saul Weiss was Nifter Dalet Siv on 2019. In the merit of our learning, my parents' neshama should have an aliyah.